Welcome to Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe, and we are brought to you today by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Atlanta Business Radio X. We've got a great show today where we're going to talk about some people that are breaking the rules of conventional thinking, doing some different things in the market space. We're going to visit with Wayne Carroll from Air Mesh Technologies and Eric Dykes from the United Technology Group. Gentlemen, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
Fantastic. So, Wayne, let me start with you. I have a penchant and a passion for wireless technology. I used to work in that space and in that world. So tell us about what Air Mesh Technology is currently doing in the wireless space.
What we're currently doing in the wireless space is unconventional from what people are used to as far as cables and everything that they need coming into their house. Everything that we do is strictly through the air. And we bring that in, obviously, from the main point at 56 Marietta Street. And from that point, everything goes through the air, rooftop to rooftop. And by doing that, what ends up making it really great for people, hotels, big businesses, small businesses, when they have a point when they need to make a change or a new business looking at getting their wireless input set, they're looking at a 2 to 3 month lead time. We can do this, once we have a rooftop agreement, we can do this in 2 to 6 hours. And we can bring them anywhere from 1.5 to 2 to 3 meg for a DSL replacement up to 100 meg if they need it. The big thing that we'll do different is we don't offer speeds up to, we offer speeds guaranteed, synchronous, both up and down.
All right, now let me bring this around because I know that for a lot of people, when they start thinking about wireless or internet technologies of any type, we're conditioned. We kind of know what we know, which is there's a jack in the wall or there's something that I plug into, or I go into a local Starbucks and they've got access in that location. But this is really different. This is not this location by location type access. This is true, I'd call it metro Wi-Fi. You're covering large city spaces. In fact, you guys are looking at covering, for example, Johns Creek.
Correct.
In its entirety. Tell us how that technology works and what it means to me as an end user.
What we're doing is each location, as far as what our infrastructure is, and every rooftop that we have, we end up putting another Wi-Fi node that will set a massive circle for a Wi-Fi area for people to use in that space. When I go to the next space, those circles start to intersect. And typically what I tell people is if you look at the Olympic circles, you could dance around anywhere within those circles and have your Wi-Fi. That's exactly what we're doing in the city of Johns Creek. The signal is going through the air from rooftop to rooftop, and at any point, we can add a Wi-Fi node wherever we may see or might see an empty space and just blast that area with Wi-Fi. So literally, within time, as we keep developing, you'll be able to drive up and down the road and have your signal in the car as you're driving down the road. IP addresses, some different acknowledgments may change, but your connectivity will be the same.
So we're talking about the continuous nature of connection as if I had Wi-Fi in my home.
Correct.
Or my business, but yet we're talking about the quality that's improved over the current cellular market, 3G, 4G technologies.
That's correct.
What's the impact of that going to be to businesses? I mean, that sounds like a fantastic opportunity. What does it mean to me as a business owner?
As a business owner, you're going to be able to change speeds in a matter of seconds on a phone call. You might be working with me as a client and say, Wayne, I've got a whole bunch of empty space that we're not using yet, and we've got a big seminar coming up, and I'm going to be using so much bandwidth. How long am I looking at getting things taken care of to go from 5 meg to 10 meg? We can literally do that in 10 to 15 seconds on a phone call. And so the advantage of that, the advantage of the service that we can offer, nobody else has the ability to deal with simply because of all the overhead that they have. And regardless of where our overhead goes to, people on the road, vans on the road, 100% of everything that we do is pretty much all handled on a computer. So once we get you on the phone, we can have you look at your laptop and adjust, increase, delete, add. And the best part that a lot of customers aren't doing, if you've got 10 mega service and we find out after 3 or 4 months that you're really only maxing at 5, we're probably going to come back to you and ask you to readjust your service, even though it's going to be a lower rate for us. The only reason for that is the credibility of what I hold my employees to, is that you know that if there's 5 meg out there that you're paying for and I know that you're not using it, I don't feel that it's right as a business owner to take that from you knowing that it's never going to be used based on your current usage and history.
So as a business owner, or eventually, I think you want to offer this residential eventually as well.
Correct.
One big difference I'm hearing, and this is, again, well out of the box of the norm in my mind, any other solution that I'm currently looking at in order to obtain that type of connectivity, I've got a hardware requirement on my end. Mm-hmm. Because these companies are only providing my access to the location, and then I've got to provide some type of device, be it a wireless router or whatever, of my own, a DSL modem, et cetera, and I'm responsible for those devices. I got to troubleshoot them. I got to know what's going on with them to get my connectivity. You're telling correct. Me, though, I don't need all of that to be part of your mesh network. Is that correct?
That's correct. Typically, if there was a router or anything that was needed based on the promise we gave an individual or a community, we would put the equipment in place, take care of that equipment, update that equipment at our cost, because they're paying a monthly fee to have simply a service, and that's exactly what we'll provide.
So what made you decide that this idea needed to come to fruition? It makes so much sense. I'm surprised someone else hasn't already done it.
Well, you know, it's funny. If I go back 7 years from when we put the city of Johns Creek together, we had a whole bunch of firsts. It was the first city. It was the first largest, 10th largest city. It had a whole bunch of firsts of things that were done. And I saw an opportunity after looking at this business plan to be able to take Johns Creek and have the first true wireless city in the state of Georgia. And it took about 2.5 years to get everything put together and where we have it at today. And I'm just happy to say that we've got clients up and running, and we have no plans of stopping. It's really exciting, and we've got a lot of happy clients at this point.
How'd you pick Johns Creek? How did they come on your radar as the city to become your champion?
About 7 years ago, a friend of mine, Mike Bodker, who's the current mayor, we were going over some discussions with Fulton County and some concerns about money not coming back into North Fulton, and we started to lay out the city on a napkin at IHOP, which is in Johns Creek. So I'm pretty favorable to Johns Creek being one of the co-founders for that city.
I'd love to really, probably off air because I'm sure it's a longer story, but I'd love to hear the details on that meeting, because how many great businesses have started on a napkin?
Oh, my Lord, many, many, many.
Eric, I hope your business started on a napkin, too. We'll find a common theme if that's the case.
It always starts with a napkin.
I love the napkin. All right, what we need to do is start a napkin business, and any businesses that get started off our napkins, we automatically get an equity
position. I have
position.
One right here in my
there
pocket.
There we go.
Eric, you literally have a napkin in your hand with a business plan
You're
drawn.
A good man,
I'm
Eric.
Loving this. Fantastic. So if I'm not in Johns Creek, all right, I understand that's where you guys are started. Let's say I'm in Roswell or Alpharetta or Sandy Springs. What's the future look like for me?
It's looking very, very bright. I gave a promise to Johns Creek. I'm going to keep that promise. We've got Sandy Springs, Roswell coming, South Forsyth, Duluth, even looking at other states where we're jumping, as long as we got that initial node coming in, which comes into each and every state. But yeah, all I need is the rooftop, the agreement. I've got some people I'm working with. Only reason I've held up is I gave my word to Johns Creek, and I'm going to hold good to that.
Now, again, I told you my background a little bit in wireless, and you and I have actually talked about this offline, but I want to share this for the listening audience, and that's security. You know,
correct.
we've all heard the fears of the T-Mobile hotspots and some of the hacking type things that can happen and people intercepting emails, et cetera. How do you protect a network like this?
Well, with all the encryption, if someone were to envision a fishnet stocking over the entire city, not just the municipality, but the entire city, every single node is a point where our signal 6 to 12 times within a millisecond keeps changing all the time. And it does this so many times that for someone to try to track that, there's virtually no way to catch up and keep going because it's constantly moving. And it's called an air mesh self-healing network. And once that establishment starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger, there's virtually no way. And that's secondary to any potential blockage of a signal automatically being rerouted so your service is never interrupted.
So speaking of service quality, how does that differ from business of small stature to businesses of large stature? In the traditional wired side market, I have a huge disadvantage as a small business because I just can't afford the big pipe. How does that work in the wireless technology?
The wireless technology, it's coming through the air. You could have a little one-man shop on the corner paying your $6,000 to $8,000 rent a month, and I could bring anywhere from 1 meg to 100 meg. As we speak right now, right into your building.
So I still have the same ease of access without all of the hardware requirements that we talked about before.
That's absolutely correct.
Awesome. So what makes this different than basic technology? Why would I want this technology versus I'm going to pipe DSL or a T1 line into my business?
If you ask a lot of people today, and looking at the three of us here with all the concerns that we have, a lot of it is the service frustration, trying to get things taken care of. For new businesses, it's the speed of installation. The speed of installation for us is almost next to instantaneous. The level of service is second to none because they come directly to me and my IT guys. And some of that's easy now because we're starting and the infrastructure is somewhat new. But I'm looking already at plans 3 to 5 years down the road at what can we do on our computer to do this just as fast as we're doing now. My theme is always to do things faster and better without affecting the quality, but always looking outside the box, not just being different, but finding ways to make that customer not feel good about me, but to feel good about his business because of the opportunities he has to make it grow. That's where I see my job with the company I currently have with AirMesh Technologies.
What kind of reception are you getting from the municipalities, such as the police and the fire departments and EMS services?
It's absolutely phenomenal. We're working currently with the city to potentially do a backup plan for their wireless service. They currently have a bundle of fiber coming in. The thing we're looking at doing with police and fire, and being an ex-police officer, this was of interest to me because we have the ability with all the current in-store cams and retail cams to eventually tie this into our system so that when a police officer gets a call from an alarm, he can punch in a code and literally activate their cameras on his MDT or laptop in his car so he can see what's inside the building live as he's going to the location. Police and fire, it would be the same thing. So that's going to be a phenomenal thing from a safety issue for them, and then further down the road, we're looking at adding this in to the GPS systems for vehicles and cars so that you're not looking at a little triangled icon of a potential traffic hazard. You can actually see a live feed through your GPS unit utilizing our system, working with the state and DOT to have that feed right into your car. So that's a little long range because we're going to have to deal with the automakers and the manufacturers and the GPS people. But those are some of the plans down the road that we're looking at.
Well, speaking of plans down the road, what is the future for AirMesh Technologies? What are you guys looking at?
AirMesh Technologies, initially, five years down the road, I would probably have the 7 to 8 surrounding cities around Johns Creek all lit up and going. There's some areas in Atlanta that we're currently doing some stuff with. Going into Detroit, my hometown, primarily because I've got some people there that I know own buildings, and they're very tall buildings, that once I get that feed in, I can do and duplicate the exact same thing I've got here with some of our proprietary information and duplicate what I'm doing in Johns Creek at every other city I feel like jumping to.
Exciting. So if I'm out there and I'm interested, I'm in Johns Creek, and I'm interested in finding out more about AirMesh Technologies and maybe getting on this AirMesh Technology band so I can get rid of the cord, how do I go about finding out about that? How do I get in touch with you?
With me directly, you can call me at my phone at 678-898-9782. You can go to the website, which is AirMeshTechnologiesLLC.com. Email me, WayneCarroll@AirMeshTechnologiesLLC.com, and we'll be glad to do a site survey and let you know how quickly we could get to you, if we can get to you at least at this point with our infrastructure. But it's all coming down the road, and pretty much everyone's going to be happy and very pleased with what we can offer.
Well, I want to find out how some of the things that we talk about play into the business market, especially with things going mobile. So I want to go ahead and I want to bring Eric online, and I want to get him in this conversation. Can you hang out for a little bit? Because
sure.
By the time we finish talking to Eric, I think we'd like to revisit and see how some of these things play together.
Is that all right? I think we complement each other very well.
All right, good deal. So, Eric, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me.
So, United Technologies Group, tell us a little bit about who you guys are and what you do.
Sure. UTG is a company. We're headquartered in Suwanee, Georgia, although maybe we need to come over to Johns
Creek. Time to move to Johns Creek. All right.
And we also have an office in Augusta, Georgia, and we are an IT solutions company. We offer IT technology for fast-growing, innovative companies. We do that by architecting, implementing, and managing IT solutions of all the major technologies that businesses and other organizations need.
Now, tell me this, because my eyes glaze over a little bit, and I'm from a technology background world. Mm-hmm. When people say IT services, we do IT. It lumps a lot of stuff together. Give me the top one or two things. What's really hot in the IT services market right now that business owners are clamoring about?
Yeah, sure. Let me break it down a little bit first and say that we have two core practices. So a professional services group that does consulting and implementation and these types of activities, often project-oriented engagements with clients. And then we have a managed services group that is more responsible for ongoing care and feeding type services. So typically for a fixed monthly agreement cost, we are proactively monitoring security, monitoring performance, as well as taking open issues from clients and responding to service tickets with an SLA, that type of thing. Now, you asked a great question, what are the hottest technologies? Well, the topic that we're here today to discuss, cloud computing, is obviously a very hot one, but also storage and virtualization, which we oftentimes see as a stepping stone to cloud computing, or what's referred to sometimes as a private cloud, which is a variant of cloud computing. Those are really fast-growing and emerging technologies. And then we also support a lot of the common infrastructure, such as Microsoft or other large manufacturers that you've heard of, as well as unified communications, whether that's messaging, voice, or electronic mail, as well as live communications, voice and video, that type of thing.
Well, let's start basic here, because people are confused about what is cloud computing, and am I in the cloud? I don't know. Am I out of the cloud? I don't know. What is cloud computing? Break it down for me from your perspective.
Sure. Cloud computing is simply utilizing resources from a remote location that are typically paid for on a monthly basis at some type of metered rate, either per user or based on an amount of usage, and versus the previous model, which was having a lot of these resources in-house. So a lot of servers in the closet, a lot of those things are being replaced by either applications or even rented infrastructure that's in the cloud or at a remote location.
Yeah, because you're limited. When you have, you know, I've seen this a lot, just, basic CRM type information. If I've got a CRM and it's in-house and it's localized, I have to be on-site, maybe even on a particular device. But now we have a way through cloud computing. Just as an example, we'll use CRM. I can get to my contacts, my prospects, my business leads anywhere, anytime.
Right. You mentioned access or mobility, and that is a driving force. Obviously, if you're accessing corporate resources that are only available from the confines of a building, you know, in today's world, that's a problem. And so, you know, when I was preparing for the show and sort of thinking through some of these questions, I sort of had this idea in my head of an equation. So I called it sort of this bandwidth availability equation, where we're really balancing these things. So there are certain applications that lend themselves very well to going to the cloud, such as an application. You mentioned CRM. That's a great app. That's a great example. Salesforce.com has really showed the viability of cloud computing. And that's a model where you can have your resources in a database at Salesforce.com, and they provide types of interfaces, either a web interface or otherwise, into your data that does not require a lot of bandwidth. So there's sort of this confluence of interfaces becoming less dependent on bandwidth and bandwidth becoming more prevalent and inexpensive. So Wayne's company, AirMesh, is a terrific example of how bandwidth is becoming easier to get and less expensive. And as that cost goes down, more and more of the resources that we used to house inside our businesses can go to the cloud.
So again, we were talking about the hardware with Wayne and getting smaller businesses and medium-sized businesses more able to compete, my English teacher would have a fit, mm-hmm. better able to compete against some of these larger organizations. And are we seeing the same thing in the cloud, where businesses that are not quite as big, maybe not as well-funded or financially superior, are able to leverage this technology to make them competitive in the landscape against larger organizations that can have those data sources in-house?
Yeah, I would say my career in IT has been surrounding emerging technologies and the window of opportunity that exists when technologies that were previously only affordable in the enterprise become affordable in the mid-market. We have a lot of clients doing things such as DR and redundancy and leveraging cloud, and they're able to gain economies that were previously not available. They were out of reach. So cloud computing definitely is pushing the capabilities down market, and people are going to leverage them for competitive advantage.
What type of security concerns should I have when it comes to cloud computing? Am I vulnerable or am I safe out in the cloud?
You know, in some regards, you're outsourcing the security of your assets just like you are the backup of your information and the housing of your information and the management of the infrastructure that the assets are on. So, you know, the companies that are offering cloud computing, they have to be expertise in all of these areas of containing your data, and security is definitely one of them. And it's obviously one that people are very concerned about, so they have to be on their game. Just like if you're going to house your IT assets in the business or in your own co-location or in a hosting environment, you know, security has to be a concern no matter where the data is. And there's a lot of aspects to security in this day and age, and you know, it's important. But that's why it's important even with our clients who have their assets in a cloud or hosting environment. They're still bringing in third parties such as UTG or other parties to help with compliance and help with security and help with the management, and of course to help with user questions and issues.
Well, speaking of clients, who is your client at UTG? Who do you guys work with, and are you best suited to help with cloud computing?
We're here to partner with fast-growing, innovative companies. The companies that are trying to leverage technology for competitive advantage and to fuel their growth are the clients of UTG.
So what kind of the history? Give us the backdrop of UTG. How did you guys evolve into the position that you're in now?
Sure. UTG is actually a spinoff. I was working for a company that was chiefly a cabling infrastructure contractor, if you will, in the beginning of 2000. And in 2004, myself and Brian Miller, who was the VP of sales for that company, we approached the owner to spinning off the network services division, which is the division I was hired to create within that company. We did that successfully in 2004. We kept 100% of the clients that we were serving previously, and we've just grown the company from there.
So right now, what percentage of your clients would you say are using some form of cloud computing?
So 100% of our clients have some type of cloud computing in their environment.
Is that natural, or is that something that you guys have brought them to?
Well, as a best of breed or a consultant, a consultative partner to these companies, we try to bring the solutions that are going to be most beneficial to their company. And so I would say it's a natural evolution that cloud computing, and also the way that we deliver our services. It's much different now for the IT service provider. We're no longer driving around in trucks and crawling under desks. A lot of what we do now is delivered remotely. And the platforms that we use for the delivery of our services are technically cloud computing. We're backing up data to the cloud, where we used to back it up strictly to a tape and someone would drive it off in their car. So, you know, it's changed. Yeah, it's a different world.
Right. It's nothing like walking into an IT center and there's a box full of tapes and the servers have crashed and you're going, oh, no, this
right.
is never going to work.
Right, right. There's a saying about that backups are worthless and restores are priceless. So.
Right. So if I'm considering cloud computing, what are some of the key areas in my business that I should be looking to move to the cloud?
You know, it's interesting. The napkin that came out earlier is actually from a conversation I had with a potential client yesterday morning, and he is in the process of writing an RFP for his cloud computing needs. And I encouraged him not so much the problem he was struggling with is, hey, do I want this in a third-party cloud provider? Do I want this in a hosted co-location facility? And, you know, my response to him and encouragement was to write what you need. Write what the business requirements are. What are your applications that you need? Not where you think they should be housed, because I think it's important to consider multiple ways of achieving achieving the same results. Because whether it's in a co-location facility and under the care of UTG or the client versus being in a third-party cloud such as an Amazon facility isn't the deciding factor. It isn't what the client's trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve high availability, high performance, low cost, and expandability, things that are scalable so that they can grow the business and leverage technology rather than being hamstrung by it. So, that's the question. Now, there are things, as we mentioned earlier, certain applications that can be leveraged in the cloud very effectively. And then there's also technology as it develops, things such as desktop virtualization. Now, change the game and with regards to the amount of bandwidth to access 50, 100, 1,000 desktops starts to go down very rapidly, and you can take any type of application and put it on remote infrastructure.
So if I'm a business owner and I'm thinking it's time to start considering the cloud and I'm looking to move that direction, UTG sounds like a great group to talk to find out if that's the right move for me. How do I find out more information? How do I get in touch with you guys?
Sure. We're on the web at www.utgsolutions.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at EJ Dykes. And you can also call us at our office, 678-730-0345. That's the main number. We'd be happy to help.
And your last name is D-Y-K-E-S.
That's correct.
So EJ, E-G.
EJ.
EJ, okay. EJ, D-Y-K-E-S. That's your Twitter handle.
That's
okay.
Right.
Got it. Yeah, I'm finding Twitter to be a lot more friendly to follow people and get good information. I did the Facebook thing for a while on the like pages, but, man, are you guys having this experience just finding Twitter to be a more powerful animal?
We're in the process of getting all that set up as we speak.
Very nice. Well, Wayne, I want to bring you back into the conversation here. So We're talking about cloud computing, but what we're really, let's boil this thing down. We're talking about mobile business. We're talking about being able to do business on the move. It's critical to today, right?
Correct.
So how can someone leverage air mesh technologies with cloud computing?
I could see where there's opportunities where, Eric had mentioned sometimes you don't need as much bandwidth or you need more bandwidth. I'm the solution for that, and there's a lot of situations as we speak and talk to people who are future clients and current clients that we can clearly see they have a need for cloud computing. And for us, knowing each other and what's going on just through the format that we've got here through Radio X, it's a great opportunity for us to be able to take to the businesses the knowledge that they have that they're not getting because they're busy running their businesses and they don't have the time to do all that we do. So it's easy to bring that knowledge and say, listen, here's a couple steps you need to take. Let me introduce you to this gentleman, because fueling these two energies together gives them the ability to just take their business in places they never thought it could go.
So how do you guys help people solve that equation? When they're thinking about going out and getting this consultation help, look, some businesses are doing very well. They got resources. Some are struggling. And when they start thinking about help and getting consultations on mobile computing and cloud technology, they're thinking, well, that'd be great, but I don't have the money for that. Have you guys looked at this and done some studies on the revenue effect of being able to be in the cloud, of being able to have this type of connectivity, and what it means to a business owner?
Yeah, absolutely. We very often help customers by creating ROI calculations that show, hey, we can continue to keep this in-house. Here are all the fees associated with it. You have warranties, and you have support costs, and you have CapEx costs, or we have a financing product from UTG where we can help turn even equipment into operational expenses versus cloud computing where you're paying a fee, maybe some onboarding costs and some support costs, and it's just a different cost structure. And so you have to compare those things and look at it over a long period of time in order to understand the true cost of the operational expense. And it is a big expense for businesses. So a lot of our clients are looking to contain and reduce costs. And very often, if you'll consider a couple of options, there's a way to achieve the end result that you're looking for.
Are there any businesses that are better suited to these types of mobile technologies and should be the early adopters? They're the guys that if they're not calling you 12 months from now, they're probably not going to have a number to call you on. Are there any companies like that?
If I could give a business name, there's one that just opened in Johns Creek. It's called Fusebox. And the whole idea behind this company was for people maybe typically, like even Eric and myself, when we're driving all around, sometimes we need a place to go where it's quiet, maybe other than a Starbucks or whatever. And this business typically is opened up for people to come in and have blistering fast internet. And people that come in there and have mobile offices that are stationary where they would need cloud computing. But for my services for that gentleman, that's when Fusebox has to know that their internet is not only the fastest it can be, that it doesn't go down. And heaven forbid something should happen, we're looking at seconds or minutes versus a whole day. All of us have had situations where someone hit a wire, there was a traffic accident, and geez, we just know that we're down for a little while. That doesn't have to happen anymore. And some of these people are generating hundreds of thousands of dollars an hour through their business via the internet. And when that internet's down, they're losing money.
Do you get that kind of feedback, Eric? Do you get people saying, hey, we'd love to go to the cloud, but connectivity is a concern for us?
Sure. Cloud computing is fueled by bandwidth, and it's nothing without solid connectivity and bandwidth. But again, the costs associated with connectivity are going down. The technology that's available to blend multiple providers of connectivity are going down and becoming more effective. So it is no longer the limiting factor that it once was.
So if you're addressing our audience, you know, we hear all about breaking the rules of conventional thinking. How do you get outside of that proverbial box and really get on the leading edge of business? So Wayne, I'll start with you. What would you say to our listeners that AirMesh is really all about? How are you going to help them get on that front edge, and how are you outside of the box, and how are you going to get them outside of it?
At the moment they open their business, they can have the internet and not have to wait 3 months. At the time when business is starting to peak, they no longer have to have that concern or worry about what do I do when my biggest client's in the middle of a seminar and the internet goes down. And the speeds and the scalability that we have are instantaneous. So he no longer, as a business owner, has to worry about fluctuations, growth, and everything else as it relates to bandwidth. And this is really a perfect pair, having Eric here, because when someone has trouble with bandwidth, and if I can see them, all I've got to do, I can pinpoint a signal and shoot at 27 miles. If I can see their rooftop today, I can reach them and get our signal. Once our infrastructure is that much larger, 6 months, a year from now, I don't even need a clear line of sight. I can still reach these people. So if bandwidth's a concern, that's where we help each other, because I've got the speed but not the cloud, and he's got the cloud, and I've got the bandwidth he could use. So this works out perfect.
27 miles is pretty renegade by itself. Some of us are just trying to figure out, how can I get my router to throw the wireless signal downstairs?
Very amazing.
I like it. Eric, how about you? How does UTG really get outside of the box for companies, and what's renegade about your organization?
Well, as we address the mobility and the ubiquity of bandwidth, one of the things that we're seeing happen a lot is the explosion of mobile devices. So people are using iPads and iPhones to connect, not just to email and notes anymore. They're now using applications that directly access the corporate databases and reports and all types of information. So UTG is in the process of launching a mobile device management practice that will add additional support capabilities to our managed services. So as the users of our clients become mobile and are accessing these applications from anywhere, they're able to get support at the same time.
Very good. You know, it might be interesting to do, if you guys are up for it, is to have you both come back on a show at some point, and let's bring a couple of your clients on. Somebody that's using the cloud computing, somebody that's using the AirMesh technologies, and maybe give our listeners that inside view from those business owners of what kind of impact these technologies have really had on their business. Because clearly this is the future, this is where business is going, and business owners need to understand how it affects them, correct?
That'd be a phenomenal perspective for them to hear and understand from a linear approach, because sometimes we can talk at a level and we realize after about four or five sentences that they have absolutely no idea what we're talking about.
I had that same thought myself.
that happens quite often for sure. Well, I want to thank both of you gentlemen for being on the show with us today. Let's one more time. We're going to post it on the website, but let's let people know how they can get in touch with you to find out more. Wayne, let me start with you.
Wayne Carroll at AirMeshTechnologiesLLC.com. Call me directly at 678-898-9782. We're looking forward to help you.
All right. And Eric, how can they find out about UTG?
Thanks, Andy. Again, I'm Eric Dykes with United Technology Group. We're on the web at www.utgsolutions.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at EJ Dykes. That's EJDYKES.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you guys, like I said, for being on the show today. I thought it was very interesting. I hope our audience took a lot from it. Hopefully some people will follow up and find out how they can leverage, I'm going to get this right today, they're going to leverage this technology to grow their businesses and really improve their bottom line, because again, I think mobile is so important and it's so the future of where we're going. Everyone listening out there, I'm Andy Lowe. This has been Renegade Radio, brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. Join us every Thursday at noon as we talk to people that are taking businesses to new heights and new ways and breaking the rules of conventional thinking. Remember, opportunity lies in the impossible.